That's right, folks. Another episode of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. Today, we're going to be breaking down some notable players with the most to gain or lose from the NFL draft in the AFC East. Key players like the Dolphins RBs. Is it Mostert? Is it Wilson? We don't want a rookie coming in to clutter that up even more. Key things like that, position battles that we will talk about that and all that and more on today's show. Before we do, follow us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. And of course, make sure you jump over to Razzball.com. We're doing great stuff on the baseball, basketball, hockey, and football. But today's show, we're going to be breaking down the AFC East players with the most to gain and lose from the NFL draft, starting right now. All right, ended the show early. It's over. It's done. Just kidding. We're back. We're live. It's the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast, and it's not the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast without the founding father, the Mount Rushmore of Razzball, Donkey Teeth. You can follow him at DonkeyTeeth87. What's going on, DT?
Yeah, the Mount Rushmore of Razzball. It's very prestigious. Yeah.
It's huge. There's only four of you up there, and I love it. It's like Gray is like two of them, and then there's two other guys, you and like those guys from like the 2015 Razzball videos, which you could just randomly find on their channel. Go check those out, by the way. Very well done. And honestly, there was a direction going back in old school Razzball that looked a lot of fun. It was like production value. Not just me and DT sitting on our couches hanging out.
But I mean, they had a band, Bobby. They had a band. They had a truck. I don't know if you knew this, but they had a band that produced that song about Moises Alou peeing and, you know, you're going to orgasm and all this. And then they had a bus and they were going across the country. Man, what happened to us?
Honestly, now Gray won't even pay for my flight somewhere at this point. I mean, come on, we used to have a bus. Honestly, that's fantastic, though. This is really good. History of Razzball. You can check out, we'll do a video some other time about the in and outs of the original Razzball team. But today's show, we're going to talk about some NFL players with the most to gain or lose out of the AFCs. And sorry if you didn't understand the intro, I apologize. Today's show is essentially current players that are on teams now that could be severely impacted by the NFL draft. For example, like we talked about, Ramondre Stevenson in the AFC East. What happens if the Patriots use a second-round pick on a running back, or if they don't draft a running back at all? Your entire outlook on that player completely changed. That's what today's show is all about. So, DT, let's dive right into it. At number five, this is a lot of fun, because you have already two former San Francisco running backs, Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, join the Miami Dolphins with Mike McDaniel. And now we're questioning, these guys have a lot to gain from the NFL draft. They could be heading into this season as the 1A, 1B. What's your thoughts about the Dolphins RBs?
Well, I mean, they made the decision to re-sign both of these guys, right? So I don't know. I guess peek behind the curtain here, right? You asked me for some players and you did like all the legwork here and sent me a list of players in the AFC East that potentially could be affected by the draft here. And I said, well, you know, the running backs are no brainers. They're easy to cover, right? But looking at these running backs, like I feel like these two are the two that do stand to lose the most. Spoiler, we are going to talk about Ramondre Stevenson, like you said, and Damian Harris with the Bills later in this show. But I feel like these two are a little bit more vulnerable. There's a committee already, and it's like these two aren't locked in relative for work, really. Like, I feel like there's going to be work for at least one of them, but I can see them drafting, you know, like, I don't think they're going to go out and spend an early round pick, but maybe a third or a fourth round pick on a guy, and maybe that guy has a really good camp, and, you know, one of these guys gets banged up early and they never see the field again because the young guy comes in and works well with, I don't know, Jeff Wilson or Mostert, whichever one of them sticks. So I do think that there's a little bit of vulnerability here, but the plus side is they just signed these guys. They really seem committed to both of them at different times of last season. And actually, they both look pretty good. So I don't think that there's like an imminent threat. I don't think the Dolphins front office is thinking like, we got to go get a running back in this draft. Do you?
Yeah. See, my thing is they fit two roles perfectly. You have Jeff Wilson as that kind of grinder, goal line, short yardage guy, strong physical. And then you have Mostert as that speed back. So it makes a ton of sense from a fantasy standpoint / team standpoint that these guys fit perfectly together, but they're both not old. You have a very young nucleus around Tua with Waddle. You have Tyreek Hill. I think that they do probably want to get a future star at that position. But I do think for this season, I would like for them to kind of keep it simple. But when you look at the numbers last year, when Wilson came over, like Wilson got hurt, Mostert got hurt, and then they played together, and really it kind of canceled each other out a little bit. I mean, Mostert, 8 for 45, 9 for 29, 11 for 71. That's all nice and all, but fantasy football, that's garbage. So, you know, 7 points, 8 points in fantasy is not going to get it done. So I am a little concerned even long term. But for this season, at least let's pray it's just them two, because adding a third one to this mix is going to be an absolute travesty. Any thoughts about the Dolphins before we go move on?
No. I mean, you're not looking at either as an RB1, even if they hit their upside, really.
Yeah, I think Wilson makes the most sense because he'll get that goal line work at least. If you're going to take an eighth and ninth round flyer on one of these guys first, but Mostert just flat out looked better. I mean, 5.2 yards in the last three games of the season when they played together, 5.2 yards per carry versus 3.9 for Wilson. So I think I would still lean Wilson slightly because of that touchdown upside, but I just feel like it's kind of a, I don't know. Hopefully the offseason will tell us a little bit more. Let's jump down to number four. It's Devontae Parker. So it starts off with Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien, last year, okay. I know Bill Belichick is like the god of coaches. He is awesome. But what the fuck was he trying to do last year? Like, oh yeah, Matt Patricia is going to be my play caller. Like, who? I think Bill Belichick was so tired of winning. He's like, I got to make this shit difficult. I'm tired of winning. Tom Brady, you're out of here. All right, give me this rookie kid. All right, bring me a guy who's never called plays in the NFL, and he also coaches the other side of the football. All right, let's see if we can win games. And then it's like he doesn't make the playoffs. He's like, all right, let's get back to normal. Let's go find a good play caller, and they bring in Bill O'Brien. So I think right there is, okay, there's a little bit of optimism that this offense is going to make sense. The other thing is, Bill O'Brien already implemented an offensive scheme in Houston that featured a player that's kind of similar to Devontae Parker in a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. These guys are both vertical threats. DeAndre Hopkins averaged like 18 yards, ADOT back in his prime in 2015. His yards after the catch was like 1.7. They forced the ball downfield to him, and that's where Parker can thrive as well. His comps out of college were A.J. Green, another nice vertical threat on the outside. And listen, Juju's replacing Jacoby Myers. I get that. But I do believe that Parker could really benefit from a better scheme fit to his skill set like Bill O'Brien could put in this offense. The other aspect of this, too, was he was featured in the red zone last year. He had the most red zone targets among the team at 17. He also paced the team at end zone targets. He just didn't convert a lot of those for touchdowns. So I do think the scheme, and I also do think his usage, could really make him into a solid fantasy asset this season. Thoughts about Devontae Parker?
I mean, I don't think he's like really locked into a job like it sounds like you kind of do. I wouldn't be surprised if they're definitely going to draft at least one receiver, right? Like they pretty much got to. They've lost Jacoby Myers. Like they have the need. I mean, they got Taquan Thornton, right? Who, you know, yep. We were optimistic about last year. There's still hope for him to pan out, but they're going to draft at least one guy. They've already spent up for Juju. I don't think it's out of the question that they sign another receiver here. So, I don't know. I don't feel great about Devontae Parker looking to next year. And I wouldn't be surprised if they spent a relatively early draft pick on somebody that could outshine him in camp.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the point of this conversation, right? It's gain and lose from the NFL draft, right? So, like, if they go in and they sign a rookie, we know that Taquan Thornton, Juju, and that rookie are probably going to eat at his playing time and or force a release. But if they don't get him a high pick or a day two or a day one pick at receiver,
that's a vote of confidence.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of the point. Let's jump down to number three, Damian Harris, the new Buffalo Bills running back. Talk a little bit why he has a lot to gain or lose from the NFL draft.
Well, I mean, I guess I'd be surprised if the Bills ponied up another early pick. After, I mean, they drafted Zach Moss, right? They drafted James Cook last year. They went out and signed Damian Harris now. I would be really surprised if they put too much draft capital into the running back position. They need a little bit of offensive line help, it feels like. So, yeah, I mean, they might get a late rounder, but I really don't think Damian Harris is in too much jeopardy. I don't think that Damian Harris is going to be like the bell cow back either. Like, I see him sharing carries with whoever. I assume it's going to be James Cook. But yeah, I mean, if they bring somebody else in through the draft and like them more than James Cook for some reason, I still think that there's going to be somebody that spells Damian Harris. That's just the modern NFL. So I think he's pretty locked into the workload that he's going to have, which is probably, you know, like 60% of the carries there in Buffalo. Maybe he's got a little upside for a little bit more, but I don't think he's going to be a guy taking, you know, 25 to 30 carries a game. You know what I mean?
I do think that Devin Singletary role is nice. It's actually 35 red zone carries last year, 10 carries inside the five, and Singletary just wasn't – he was fine as a goal line back, but he wasn't anything special. Harris over the last 2 years had 20 attempts inside the five, converted 12 for touchdowns. So only 10 of those four resulted in touchdowns with Singletary. So I think just from go out and get another running back, if they don't sign a guy or if they don't bring a guy in the NFL draft, like Damian Harris, there isn't many better landing spots for a guy who could be a solid early down back in this offense. So I think Josh Allen helps take some pressure off the run game. And I do think Damian Harris is a legit NFL back. So if they end up not drafting anybody, I mean, I think Damian Harris, like I would be interested to see where he starts falling. Are you going to be looking at him in the eighth, ninth round in fantasy drafts?
Yeah, I think if he's there that late, sure. I mean, the Bills offense is going to score a lot of points. We know Josh Allen will steal some of those touchdowns, right? But yeah, if you can get the Bills lead back, who we think is going to be the Bills lead back, right? That late in the draft, I'm all about it.
Let's see. He's going 139 right now, early NFC ADP. So that's
– but that was a lot of those were probably before we knew what team he was on, right? I would guess.
I filtered it on March 14th, so maybe.
Okay.
It's only six drafts, so let's not take it as gospel.
Small sample, right.
Small sample. Just was curious. It's March, people. We're trying our best out here. Anyway, Khalil Shakir is my number two, and when you look at how the landscape kind of shook up, first of all, the Bills need talent at the receiving position. I think outside of Stephon Diggs, I think Dawson Knox is okay. Gabriel Davis did not really show enough. Isaiah McKenzie, a guy that I love to take a flyer on last year, did not work out. Jamison Crowder's gone. When you start looking at the landscape right now with McKenzie and Crowder gone, Khalil Shakir could be walking into that slot role, which, by the way, last year in his one start that he played over 50% of snaps, 3 for 75 and one, really played really well. He actually looked pretty good in the playoffs as well, 5 for 91 in two games. Not too bad. He started showing a little flashes as a rookie. If they don't go and spend a premium pick or go get a guy like Odell Beckham this offseason, he's going to be walking into a serious role in this offense. His comps coming out, Golden Tate and Santana Moss. So guys who could play inside, also have some speed for the outside as well. So I like Khalil Shakir to be one of the guys who can gain the most out of this NFL draft. Thoughts about Shakir right now in fantasy?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with everything that you said. You know, they just signed Trent Sherfield and Deontay Hardy. So those aren't exactly like scary names coming in. But they knew that they needed to get depth, and they didn't make that move for, you know, one of the better receivers, the bigger names that are available here this offseason. So that's already, you know, a positive sign. Maybe they're thinking about taking somebody early, but I don't know. I feel like Gabe Davis has just as much to lose as Shakir, right?
Probably. I just think that we saw, okay, maybe I have some bias, but we saw what Davis did last year, and it was very underwhelming. Like, he just was not consistent at all, and he did not, like, he had that, like, huge game against the Chiefs in the playoffs 2 years ago, where it's like, okay, this guy's going to go off. And then he gets the starting role, and he just really wasn't – it was underwhelming to watch. And I do think that maybe there's limitations to him from reception perception that Matt Harmon does, that he's not a good elite winner. I also just like having that diverse role. Cole Beasley, just a few years ago was a legit fantasy asset in the same exact role. Now, granted, once Stephon Diggs got there, he became like a complete target vacuum. I just think that the unknown, I'd rather take the shot in the later rounds on the unknown Khalil Shakir than kind of know that I might get a low-end wide receiver three from Gabriel Davis.
No, yeah, I mean, I think you're saying the same thing I was. I guess I'm saying I think Davis has more to lose in the draft. Like, if they draft a receiver, I think I'd be a little bit more concerned about Davis than Shakir. Shakir, like you said, he's still unknown. We saw flashes last year that I think they still probably see his upside, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. All right, let's jump down to number one, Mr. Ramondre Stevenson. We just talked about the aforementioned Damian Harris now in Buffalo. Stevenson is looking pretty nice. James Robinson was signed. I don't think either of us are really concerned there. What's your thoughts about Stevenson, why he has the most to gain from the NFL draft?
I mean, I actually like James Robinson. I feel like, I don't know. I don't think Stevenson has a lot to gain or lose. Just because, like, we know what Belichick does with these running backs. You know, it's hard to, for me anyway, personally, to get over excited or over invested in a Patriots running back just from all of the past years of headaches where it's like, oh, it's going to be this guy. And then boom, out of nowhere, like, oh, super excited about Sony Michel. And then I don't even remember who it was that comes along and Rex Burkhead steals like 60% of the work that season or something like that. So it's like, at the right price, I'm interested in Ramondre Stevenson, and it makes sense because we have seen Belichick before, you know, get LeGarrette Blount 17 touchdowns and weird stuff like that. But it's just like so risky investing too much in the Patriots backfields, and it just feels like he's always going to have 2 to 3 running backs that he wants to keep the defenses like on their toes and make sure that it's not too predictable and all that. So just from a fantasy perspective, the Patriots backfield is one that I try to not get excited about. And I guess that's after I did get excited about Sony Michel and burnt there, you know?
I hear you. I think the problem is that we saw last year when Harris was out, we kind of got a glimpse of how they viewed Stevenson. They gave him legit workhorse role. Like, so the biggest keys are if James Robinson is the backup, right? I do think that there is something to James Robinson, and they also have like Ty Montgomery, those kind of passing down backs, that if Stevenson's their guy, that maybe they go with him, and then if something happens to Stevenson, they have a little committee behind him. And the reason why I do think that, though, is because we kind of saw what happened last year. As soon as Harris went out, they just said, here's Stevenson. So with Stevenson, with Harris versus not with Harris, he averaged 13.3 in the games in PPR points per game with Harris. That jumps to 18.3 without Harris. He was that would have been RB5 last year. And they're returning 4 or 5 starters. The fifth guy they brought in, Riley Reiff, who's an established veteran right tackle. I just think that if we don't see like a weird day 3 pick, a 3rd round pick, maybe even a 4th round pick at the running back position, I think there's a very good chance that he does give him the workhorse role because he did it last year. And he talks a lot about Stevenson. So, like, there's a lot of Belichick sound bites about how he loves the Ramondre Stevenson, even when Harris was the lead back. Harris was the 1A getting all the early down work until he got hurt and then Stevenson took over. So I do think there's something there. And I think Bill O'Brien, I think that offense, I think there's just going to be more competency. And right now he's going at the 3-4 turn. I'm interested there. What about your thoughts there?
I am probably going to be out. I just don't trust Belichick. I don't trust running backs in that system. Like, we look at last year, what you're talking about with Stevenson, like, he still got 20 carries one time, and he played 17 games. He played all 17 games and he got 20 carries one time. That was week 5. He had more than 15 carries, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 times. So, like, if this is what it looks like being like the guy in New England, yeah, you can get some touchdowns, right? But that's any running back. I don't know. It's like I'm just very hesitant to pay whatever 3rd, 4th round. If it looks like a guy's going to be the guy in New England, like the rug can get pulled so quickly with Belichick. We've seen it way too many times.
Yeah, and I understand. And listen, just to push back a little bit, he averaged 20 touches a game. So if you factor it, was 16 in the games I looked
at. He did get a lot of receiving work. Yeah, that's true.
He got 16 attempts on the ground. He averaged, and he averaged 3.9 receptions. So that's just a shy under 20 touches a game. That's elite usage. Like, and honestly, I'd rather get receiving work. Honestly, we all know that the receiving work's more valuable in a PPR format, mostly, even half. Anyway, so I do think that there's something. And listen, this is why we talk about this stuff now, because there's still plenty of offseason. By the way, there's guys like Leonard Fournette, Zeke Elliott out there that could be complete grenades in anybody's fantasy backfields, and then the NFL draft. So I just think that if they don't invest in the running back position and you're going into the offseason with James Robinson and Ty Montgomery, that says something to me that, you know what, I'll take a third-round pick on Roger Stevenson if I have to. And listen, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It is what it is. But I do think that there's something there. All right, DT, yeah. Any final thoughts before we close out? Any guys we covered today? Is anybody we missed that you want to bring up before we close the show?
No, I mean, I think we covered it pretty well. Stevenson was, he was pretty good in the receiving game. It is strange, though, like the weeks 13, 14, 15, 16, the work that he saw in the air game kind of disappeared. So I don't know. You're right, though. He was definitely valuable in PPR leagues and more valuable than I expected him to be. But yeah, I think we've covered everything pretty well, Bobby.
The Arizona game, he got hurt. So that's why it's like a complete outlier. So like there's like a red week against Arizona. He had like three carries. I remember that game because yeah. I made the playoffs because I was playing against Stevenson. The guy had him in and I was like up by like 2 points. And I'm like, shit, I'm going to miss the playoffs because of this. And he got hurt. And I go, Jesus loves me sometimes.
It's a miracle. Yeah. Fantasy football miracle, man.
It was a tear to my eye. It was a beautiful moment. That's all we got for today, folks. Once again, this is the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. Make sure you go like, subscribe, comment on all our channels. Jump over to TikTok and IG. And of course, make sure you go to razzball.com. DT, tell the people what's on deck for you, what you got going on, anywhere where they can find your content, where to follow you, all that stuff.
I think I'm going to release the top 10 quarterbacks and then maybe we can do a show on it. I mean, the top 10, I already released the top 10 for half PPR leagues. We should probably record a show on that. That's out there. But we got a site makeover that's coming. I'm super excited about that. It'll probably be out this weekend sometime. So tease that, surprise. Let's see what it looks like.
Fresh site, go check it out. Top 10 rankings coming soon. Make sure you jump on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. Go subscribe because we got nothing but great things coming all off season long. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. You can follow me at Bobby LaMarco on Twitter. We are out of here.